T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In local in recent days, local law enforcement has made arrests in Connecticut, Florida, Ohio. All arresting people have made statements about committing mass shootings. What does that say about our ability to detect these events before they actually happen? Crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett is joining us live now. Brad, the arrests have to be a positive sign toward this, right?
It does, but the real key in the examples you gave, and there's even been two more recent in Clarksville, Tennessee, and Long Beach, California in the last day or so, that all were resolved or prevented potential mass shootings because the police were told about the person. If you look at every one of the school shootings that have occurred, the information was out there through friends, associates, classmates, etc., some information, but law enforcement didn't know about it. And so if they don't know about it, they can't get in front of it. Now, sometimes you may get in front of it and see that it doesn't amount to anything, but these cases that we're talking about this morning clearly had the potential of being catastrophes. And so the idea that people need to come forward and say, look, I'm not sure what's going on, but this person is acquiring assault weapons and making the following statements, and let law enforcement sort it out.
There's lots of discussion right now on background checks. Would they have made a difference in the most recent mass shootings?
My guess is probably not, only because if you look at a majority of the mass shootings that have successfully occurred, is the people overwhelmingly had the weapons legally. They had gone through the system of being, you know, the delay, going to a gun shop, buying the gun, waiting, picking it up. Because the big difference is, if you look at a vast majority of the homicides in this country, they're not mass shootings. We talk about them more because they're so catastrophic. But, you know, the day-to-day is people picking up guns and either killing themselves or somebody else. And, you know, the idea of maybe more consistent background checks or more comprehensive, where even private sales, you have to do a background check, I think could reduce those numbers, but not so much maybe with mass shooters.
So in identifying these people, beforehand, it's still see something, say something for most people. But for police and law enforcement, what have they been able to do differently, if anything, other than just rely on what people see?
To be able to quickly act on the information they have. So in other words, like, in these three recent shootings in Connecticut, Florida, etc., you know, law enforcement also had information that the shooter had acquired large amounts of ammunition. They now have, they're better able to check these things quicker, I guess is the short answer, and more quickly connect with local law enforcement. I mean, one of the tips, and I believe it's the one in Connecticut, they actually called the FBI. And then it started, and they immediately went to the police and started working with them and figured out who this person was. And then they, ultimately arrested them. So working better, because think about this. There are 18,000 law enforcement agencies in this country. Trying to coordinate sometimes, can be tricky.
We don't know, Brad, if there is an appetite for gun control legislation in Congress. But is there a bill that you've been following that you think would help?
Probably not a bill. I mean, I'm certainly somebody who believes that, as we just talked, background checks, we need to spend a lot more money in treatment. And I'm not talking about people that have been adjudicated mentally ill, but troubled kids in school, identifying them. This is really about sort of getting in front of people that end up being shooters, because they're all troubled. They all feel like they have grievances, and they're going to act out and take what they think, rightly belongs to them. And even though that's totally illogical. And so we need to spend more money in identifying, treating, And, you know, ultimately building communities in schools, in companies, wherever, where people feel more comfortable to come forward. So that really doesn't have a lot to do with laws. You know, laws are easy. You can pass them. But there are so many different ways around them that my belief is, and it's much what I just proposed is harder to do, and it takes longer. But that's the real key. It's just like in these cases, is getting in front of shooters.
Seems like a lot of people have the information as far as what to watch out for, you know, what some of these warning signs are. But then, you know, taking that next step, that's the is that the next hurdle that people have to, you know, clear to kind of make this go along and work with law enforcement? Because while people will identify some of those things, they might not necessarily say something out loud for one reason or another.
Right. That is correct. And particularly if you look, let's say that these three shooters most recently arrested or would-be shooters, that they were all like not in school anymore. They weren't at least out of the public school system where, you know, they tend generally speaking to do a little better job of keeping track of kids with issues. And so we have to figure out some way to sort of move oversight of people once they maybe leave a school system. But yes, this all completely goes back to people coming forward. I know people don't like to do that, but you're just going to have to do it if you think you got somebody that could commit such a horrendous act.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.